Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Charlie Waller Trust podcast, or the CWT podcast, if you like your titles a little snappier, for the health and social care workforce at the Lancashire and South Cumbria Training Hub. My name is Mark Durden-Smith, and I was a friend of Charlie's, and I'm lucky enough to be a trustee of this incredible charity that's doing so much to help people with their mental health. This podcast series has been put together by five of the amazing team of Charlie Waller Trust trainers who spend their lives helping people all over the country better understand mental health and well-being. So thanks for tuning in, and I shall now hand over to our Charlie Waller trainers.
Hello, my name is Andy Caress. I'm a mental health trainer with the Charlie Waller Trust in the Schools and Families team. Today I'm speaking to Penny Aspinall, consultant trainer for the Charlie Waller Trust workplace team. Penny has 25 years of experience as counsellor and psychotherapist working in a range of settings. And we're going to be talking about managing difficult and distressing feelings. Given their role working on the front line, we know that a lot of practice nurses report feelings of guilt and helplessness associated with their role. And this has been exacerbated in many ways by the COVID-19 pandemic. Penny, why has the pandemic had such an effect on healthcare professionals' levels of stress?
Yeah, I think obviously we can experience a whole range of difficult and distressing feelings at any times in our life. That's just part of being human. But the pandemic is different in that so many of us are feeling similar feelings brought on by being under such a prolonged period of stress and fear and uncertainty. And so many healthcare workers have been working under extreme and relentless pressure against a backdrop of risk, inadequate resources and intense pressure. So it's really not surprising that a lot of people have been experiencing these kind of feelings, in particular guilt, helplessness in the face of such an overwhelming situation. So what I'm going to do is to look at some ways of learning how to manage and regulate these feelings, which will be applicable to managing any difficult feelings, not just those brought about through living through this terrible pandemic and its aftermath. So basically, I think there are four things that you can do. Self-compassion, practice self-compassion, practice self-care. Make sure you share with others, share what's going on with other people, and also celebrate your achievements.
Could you expand on what you mean by the term self-compassion?
Yeah, sure. So self-compassion is not self-pity or feeling sorry for yourself. It's actually an active and effective way we can calm our systems down and regulate overwhelming or distressing feelings so we can cope with them and difficult situations much more effectively. It's very hard to cope with things when we're completely overwhelmed. So when we practice self-compassion, what we do is we notice the cruel and harsh way that we so often speak to ourselves when, for example, we've made a mistake or done something wrong or are just feeling down or anxious. We often talk to ourselves in a way that we would dream of talking to other people. So when we practice self-compassion, and this might not come easy, so many of us are in the habit of kicking ourselves when we're down, we change those messages to ones that are reassuring and comforting. So we learn to slow our systems down, to pause and give ourselves the same kind of soothing messages that we would to someone else. So when we beat ourselves up, quite simply, it just makes things worse as it exacerbates the horrible feelings. We're feeling bad enough anyway, so we don't need to load more onto us. So when we learn to change those messages, we can actually reverse that by engaging the part of the brain that will release feel-good hormones that will actually calm us down. We can then deal much better with the feelings.
That's interesting. I work predominantly with school-aged children, and what you've said echoes a workshop that I deliver with younger children. And we talk about how important it is to treat yourself how you would treat your pet. When they feel sad or stressed or when they make mistakes, we don't punish them or treat them badly or shout at them. But instead, we are kind to them. We offer reassurance. We offer them treats and kindness and patience. A key message is that we should treat ourselves kindly too.
Absolutely, Andy. That's a really, really good parallel. And it's also not about pretending that everything is okay, because we can't kid ourselves that things are okay when they're clearly not. It's about accepting that this might be a really difficult time and you are suffering and struggling. So it's about being good to yourself in those moments. And you may actually have to take time to do this. You know, it might not come automatically. You might actually have to pause to take time to do it properly. And touch is also important in the same way that it's really comforting when someone touches us when we're distressed, or that we want to stroke or caress our pets when they're distressed, for example. It's a natural human instinct and sometimes all we need. And it's a particularly cruel thing about the present situation that we can't touch each other. So we can actually gently touch ourselves and feel the warmth of our hand on, for example, our arm or our face or our hand. And you can actually feel this calming your system down.
Ah, thank you, Penny. That's so true. I mean, for myself, I definitely stroke my dog, Monty, when I need to relax and he's there for me. And that physical presence is so important, especially if you're not living with other people.
Yeah.
You do highlight self-care as well, which is a term we hear a lot nowadays. But what does it mean to you? And why would you say it's particularly important for practice nurses?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of nurses, I mean, looking after ourselves both physically and mentally is really important at the best of times. It's something we really all need to do, and sometimes we often forget to do it. But healthcare professionals, as healthcare professionals, we tend to be really good, really brilliant at telling other people all the right things to do, but are perhaps not so good as taking our own advice. So if we're already feeling low or depressed or anxious or stressed or grieving, and there's a great deal of loss around at the moment, we're much more vulnerable to those unwelcome feelings such as guilt, helplessness, anger, despair taking hold. We don't have that inner resource or resilience to fight them or rationalize them or get them into perspective. So if you are starting to have those kind of thoughts and feelings, which can be really hard to shift, it may be a warning sign that you really do need to be attending to your mental health. You might well become at risk of burnout or compassion fatigue, which many healthcare workers can experience when they've been under the kind of pressure that you nurses are all under at the moment. And of course, you can end up in a vicious circle, especially if your sleep is being affected and you're finding it hard to unwind or relax, which is often the case. It's often the case that when we most need to look after ourselves, we're least able to do it. So if you haven't already done so, maybe take the time to listen to our two podcasts on looking after your own mental health. Because don't forget, it's so hard to look after others if you are drained yourself.
Absolutely. There's a saying that I like to use when I'm speaking to teachers about their work in supporting the children in air care, which is that you can't pour from an empty cup. And I often use the example of being on a plane. And if you're an adult who is attending a child, and if the oxygen masks come down, always instructed to put your own mask on first so that you're in that best position to offer that love and that support and the care to others.
Absolutely, that's so true. And it's also really important to experiment with something that works for you in the self-care, because it's not a one-size-fits-all and lots of different things work for different people. In fact, one person's really nurturing, kind thing to do for themselves, like maybe going for a 5K run, could be another person's total torture. So it's really important to find something that works for you. Although I will give you one little tip that's around at the moment, is try to look at try to avoid looking at too much depressing news websites or social media. And if you do like to use social media, remember that it works on algorithms. So if you actively look at things and images that cheer you up or inspire you, you'll get more of those coming your way. And of course, the opposite is true. So there's a lot of evidence that the brain chemistry actually changes when we look at things that cheer us up or make us feel good. And conversely, if we look at distressing things, that changes our brain chemistry as well. So do more of the stuff that makes you feel good. Yeah, that's one tip.
No, that's lovely advice. Obviously, with the first two points you made, the self-compassion and the self-care, that taking time to focus on yourself seems to play a really important role. And we know time can be short and we might need to be creative in how we find the time. And the same is true with your next point about sharing with others and why that's so important. How can opening up to others about how you're feeling help deal with the difficult feelings we might be experiencing?
Yeah, because we all know the old saying that a problem shared is a problem halved. And, you know, like with all things, there's now some evidence and neuroscience to back this. But really, it's something that's just common sense that we instinctively know this. People have turned to other people for help since time began. Often just talking the problem through can make us feel so much better. If we talk to somebody else, we might get a different perspective on it. They might make us feel more hopeful about things, can open things up a bit. And taking the risk and sharing how you're feeling can also open the door to others, also saying that they felt the same. So all of a sudden, you don't feel so alone. And or that there's something wrong with you. You're the only person feeling like this. That can be a really horrible, isolating feeling. And again, mysteriously, that can make it all feel so much better. So sharing with others can create an energy also to make changes and put in place support structures. I think one problem is obviously that when we get really down, we're very often inclined to withdraw or isolate ourselves or feel we need to put a brave face on so nobody can guess how we're feeling, or we don't really want to reach out, we can't be bothered. And these are all the more reasons why we do need to reach out to others and ask people how they're feeling. Also, sometimes other people might notice when we're struggling with our feelings before we do. So if someone does reach out to you, do try not to brush them off or dismiss them. I know it's tempting, you know, often our first reaction is, no, I'm fine. But actually, it might really help to talk things through with them. And you can find more about this on my other podcast about looking after each other in the workplace.
Absolutely. Thank you. Your final point about celebrating your achievements. Why is that so vital?
Yeah, it's really important, and it does link in with the self-compassion bit, and often we can be very good at encouraging others and bigging them up, but we neglect to do this for ourselves. And maybe we were taught it was rude to boast or that pride comes before a fall. But however, if we don't focus on what we're doing well, on how much difference we're making to people's lives, how much we are valued and appreciated, we get a very skewed picture. We only focus on what we're not achieving or the bits we don't feel are going well. And for some odd reason, we do tend to do this quite a lot. We're not getting a realistic picture of who we are. And this contributes to us feeling helpless and guilty that you're not doing enough. And actually, the truth is, you're probably doing plenty. So it's a bit like thinking about our sphere of control, you know, things that we can control, things that we can't control. We spend all our time trying to control or change or manage something that is actually beyond our control. It becomes completely exhausting and demoralizing because we're actually trying to do an impossible task. So we need to look at actually what we can control or change, what we can really control or change, and focus our energies on that.
Speaking for myself, this has been something that I found quite challenging throughout COVID. I find myself worrying about what decision the government are going to make about lockdown, whether my loved ones are going to become ill. I've become stressed about the behavior of other people whilst I'm in the supermarket and many other small things which are outside my sphere of control. And it does take quite a significant amount of my energy without actually helping anything, without actually changing anything. And when I do proactively limit my attention to things that are within my sphere of concern, such as my adherence to social distancing or finding time for my own well-being or making sure to take time to connect with people, it does make me feel slightly more empowered and slightly more in control of my situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And we can, you know, when we do that and we also celebrate our achievements, what we can do, what we can influence, then we can really build up a sense of achievement and value. We feel we're actually doing something of value. And it's so much less stressful than trying to do the impossible. And I think this is also where the sharing comes in again, because we might well need help from others to celebrate our achievements. It's lovely when we get a bit of nice feedback, isn't it? It's so validating and, you know, it can cheer you up for the whole day. So make sure you and your colleagues do give each other that good feedback and compliments, and say thank you when you need to. You can do this individually or even as a whole team, and it might make you feel so much more supported and encouraged and valued, and also might help you feel like you're an important part of a much bigger system. So there's loads of evidence around actually about the importance of team resilience and working together to support each other, so that you're being there for colleagues when they are down and vice versa. And that will also help you through this difficult time.
Absolutely. Penny, we've covered a lot in a very short amount of time, and I just want to recap those four main points for those listening. So you would say that the four main actions are about self-compassion, about self-care, about sharing with others when we're concerned, and also making sure to celebrate our achievements.
Yeah, indeed. But also to not forget that actually this isn't that easy. Because when we get overwhelmed by difficult feelings, it can be hard to get a rational perspective on them. But it's important to remember that feelings are just feelings, and although they can feel terrible in all sorts of ways, they will pass. So look after yourself. Be kind to yourself and do the things that I've suggested until they do. Thank you, Andy. It's been really great talking to you, actually.
No, thank you for sharing your knowledge. It's fantastic.
Well, thank you to the Charlie Waller trainers. So many positive strategies that I think we can all use in our lives going forward. If you want to learn more, you might fancy a route around the Charlie Waller Trust website, where you'll find all sorts of interesting and helpful stuff, including free resources. Thanks for listening in, and do look out for more podcasts in the series.